Welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Church, I'd like to thank you for tuning in and hope that you'll take time to consider what's brought during this broadcast. And thank you for allowing us to come into wherever that you're at, whether at your home or perhaps driving along, or perhaps you're listening to this and maybe by digital format. We know that this goes out, this message goes out in a number of ways, but wherever the situation may be, we certainly appreciate the opportunity to share some thoughts from the Word of God with you. And I hope that as you consider what's shared, that you'll seriously give attention to the Word of God and consider it as it is truly not something that we've come up with, but it is the inspired Word of God. And I hope that as the message goes forward, that you'll be able to tell, as the Spirit of God deals with your heart, that you'll be able to clearly perceive and understand that what that we're sharing is indeed something that we have been trying to pray about and asking the Lord to help us to study on. And then, as just a moment of time as we pray, you'll notice that we ask Him to help us deliver these points. So, in all, be able to see and perceive indeed that this is not just some idle thoughts or something that we're trying to use to gain popularity, but indeed this is the Word of God. And the intent is that whatsoever state that you're found in, that you come to understand more about God. And if you don't know the Lord, perhaps you have been studying the Bible, or even perhaps trying to serve God in some form or fashion, but sincerely that you've just never really had a relationship with the Lord on a personal level. I hope that something is shared to help you to see the difference and will help you to indeed go to the Lord and find that personal relationship with the Lord. It's also important that we all have that. And if you do indeed already know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, perhaps something to be shared to help you to get a better understanding of God's Word and thereby be better prepared to share something useful to someone you may encounter who don't know the Lord. So whatsoever the state may be, we thank you for tuning in and ask you to prayerfully consider what we might address. We don't think we need to go any farther till we pray. We feel the need to pray, and then after prayer, we'll try to take up the thoughts that are on our heart. As to where you can, you'd like to join with us, then let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for your rich many blessings that you extend toward us through thy Son, Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, for your watch, care, and protection. Yea, Lord, the great long-suffering of God where we fail and comes to short. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to repent and to come free of the things that might hinder. Lord, we pray again that you would direct and use as we might try to take up some of the wonderful thoughts from your holy word. Direct us, Lord, in our delivery of the words of God, that the things that go forth, that they'd be such as you see that we truly need. We pray, Father, for all who might hear. Pray, God, that you'd open our attention and help all to clearly understand the things that are being presented, that they're indeed from God. And Lord, we pray if there be any out who are lost and undone, knowing thee not, nor the free pardon of sin. Father, we pray that something that might be brought would be helpful to open their attention and help them, Lord, to see their need and to seek after thy Son, Christ Jesus, for soul salvation. We pray for the many sad and needy circumstances, those who are shut in, those who are not well and able to be out, freedom and liberty to be able to go about their lives as they would like. We pray for them all. We pray, Father, that their lives may be filled with kindness of others toward them. Grant us, Lord, that we would have that type of kindness that we might share with others. Oh, Lord, we're thankful for the great love of God that's been shed abroad into our hearts. Help us that we might share and seek, allow others to see that in us that you've given to us. We pray, Father, for thy church. Pray that you'd bless her and help her to be such as readily follows after Christ. Pray that you'd have great mercy on her again and stir her up and let her, Lord, be guided and directed that the work of God might be accomplished, knowing that nothing is impossible for God, that in this day we would indeed see in that work going forth on every hand. Father, take now and use, ask you to bless again this work, and we know we failed to ask many, many things, but fail not to grant. For we seek all favors and blessings in Jesus' name, for his name's sake we do pray. Amen. As we find ourselves over in the book of the Gospel according to John, we would like to call your attention especially to the fourth chapter of this portion of God's Word. This would be the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to John. And as you look into this portion of God's Word, just by summary, and we'll summarize the introductory verses, getting down to what we feel like we need to read, we notice that just by summary that there is, on this occasion, the Lord is at a well called Jacob's Well, and as he came near to a place near to Samaria, he stopped there at this place where this well was at. And as he was there, there was a certain woman who was also at the well, and she was drawing water out of the well. And as the Lord was there with this Samaritan woman, he asked that woman to give him to drink. And this is on the occasion that's very familiar to many of us, where this woman is drawing water from this well, and the Lord asks for a drink, and it leads to an occasion where that the Lord calls her attention to the fact that if she would have known who he was and would have asked, He had given her living water, water which that he explains to her, whoever drinks the water that he gives, whoever, that includes us today, whoever drinks that water will never thirst again. And the woman saying that she perceived that he was, their conversation leads to the point to where that she says that she perceives that he's a prophet. And I'll start reading here, and this being verse 19, and I hope that when you have the opportunity, you'll read the fourth chapter leading up to this 19th verse, so that you'll see that I've left out many details. I've hit some very important points here in this introductory summary, but there are other things that I've left out, and just always it's rich and a blessing to read God's Word. I hope that you'll take time to read the rest of that fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, but we'll start with verse 19 because of the limits of time as we try to acknowledge the time that we have for this broadcast. But in verse 19, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. One of the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a brief reading lesson from John chapter 4, and we've read from verse 19 down through verse 26. And we want to notice here that the Lord, he lays down some very important information for all sincere people, so that everybody who's sincere has an honest desire to worship God. He lays down a very important or some very important thoughts in these few verses of Scripture, that all sincere worshipers of God need to have in their mind and on their heart. And you'll notice that I'm just using God's Word here to bring these points out. And the Lord here, obviously this woman had said, and she brought up a difference in how to worship God. She being a Samaritan and they being close to Samaria, she points out the fact that her fathers, those who are of Samaria, they had taught and they firmly believed that everybody ought to come and worship in the mountains there near Samaria. However, it was of the Jews' belief, and you can go back and find in the Old Testament and how that God had instructed that the people should come to Jerusalem to worship. If they were going to worship him in the truth, he designated the area, the place specifically, the unique house and the ark with the mercy seat and the priesthood that he selected. He said, this is where I'll put my name. And the woman points this out when she says, now our fathers say that people, when they worship, they should worship here in these mountains of Samaria, but you Jews, now y'all say that everybody the world over should go up to Jerusalem to worship. And the Lord takes that point up about worshiping God, and because he says that the hour is coming and was then present, that no man will come to that mountain there in Samaria nor go up to Jerusalem to worship God the Father. He said the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, now listen, everybody who wants to be a worshiper, a sincere, honest worshiper of God would fall, is in this category of a true worshiper. And the Lord said that the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he goes on and says, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Moreover, he even says, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, when you find such words as they shall, or that they must, and that God seeks this, when we find these type of words being applied, we notice that everything else is being excluded except what God has laid down here, set before us. And so those who find this one way, this one designated way that God set before us, they are the true worshipers. And I note here how that this says that the true worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth. Now I want to give you an example about how that we can get crossed up and just think how that if we're following what's in the Bible, yet never have a personal relationship with God. How that we could be worshiping or striving to obey the truth, but coming short of worshiping God in the spirit and in the truth, because the spirit and the truth are both involved in what the Lord Jesus Christ lays down here. Now I want to call your attention to just a couple of examples here. Notice an example, if you will, from Luke and in chapter 13. Would you consider that the Bible, in God's word, Jesus doing the speaking here, when he's speaking on the subject of repentance, and he'd been told about some people who lived in Galilee, who that the governor, a man by the name of Pilate, he had slain them, spilled their blood, and their own blood, that spot that Pilate spilled, mingled with the blood of the animal sacrifices that they were making. And so during their worship, they were slain. And this hideous crime, being something so, just speaks out so strongly, people trying to worship and being slain even in the moments when they're trying to worship. And the Lord said, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things, because even in their time of worship they died. Do you suppose this was because that they were sinners above all sinners that this happened? And he said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I want to give you another example, which is very similar to this one. Now, what I'm trying to share with you, my radio friend, is how that there's a distinction between worshiping in spirit and in the spirit and in the truth versus just us sticking with trying to worship in the truth. When you exclude the spirit out of worshiping God, I find that the Bible helps us to see that you're not a true worshiper. You must be in the spirit and in the truth when you're worshiping God, and would be a true worshiper of God. So the first example from the Word of God, which is the revealed truth. God's Word is truth. And so worshiping, trying to find our way of practice out of the Bible, why, that's wonderful. That's where we need to start. And that's where we find the truth. But you can't exclude the spirit out of this. So what I've given you in the first example is this lesson on repentance that the Lord gave. Let me us consider also over here in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. In here, we'll read two verses, verse 29 and 30. Forasmuch then, as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and men's device, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So we notice here we have plain words, black letters on a white page of words. Ink has dried to let us know that, and by the truth, this is in God's word, which is sharing the truth with us, that we are called on to repent. And we have these examples saying that except we repent, we'll perish, and that God has commanded all men everywhere. That's all, that includes us. That doesn't miss anybody. Except we repent, we'll all perish, and God's commanded all men everywhere to repent. And it even goes on here and says that God's given assurance to us, unto all men, in that he has raised Christ Jesus from the dead. So now this assurance, it's certain that we must repent or we'll perish. It is sure and certain that except that God's commanded us to repent. And this is the truth. Sometimes you'll hear a practice being laid before people. And I believe these are good intention people trying to follow the truth. But good intentions or help us not at all if it's short of what God has said. This is what I seek. And what we've read here out of the book of John and in chapter 4 is that God's seeking true worshipers. And these true worshipers worship God in the spirit and in the truth. Now, if we're just trying to follow the truth, you might hear that you need to practice just stopping doing bad things. Just make a turn in the road. Stop heading the direction you're going and turn back from that direction. Stop doing bad, as it's called bad in the Bible. Stop doing evil, as evil's identified in the Bible, and turn back from that and start doing good. And their works, practices, which you might be taught, you see, here's a practice in the Bible, do that. Here's another practice in the Bible, do that as well. Everything, though, that is a deed, something that you're doing, something that can be act, you can either perform or have somebody to perform it on you. All those deeds, all those actions, things which are in the Bible even, I want you to know that doing and deeds, they're called works. And to do works, my friend, comes short of being a true worshiper, because the scripture tells us that God wants us to worship him in the spirit and in the truth. I'd like to add something to this then, hoping by the help of God, by the very work of God's Spirit, this Spirit who we're talking about here, God's Spirit, God, if he'll help us here, me to deliver and you to hear, I want you to see, even in the act of repentance, you need the help of the Spirit of God in this. You must make a spiritual approach unto God. Now, and that spiritual approach, without it, you're not repenting. You're counting on works. And the scripture says we're saved not of works, lest any man should boast. Look here, then where we see the Spirit involved, over here in Romans and in chapter 10. What saith the scripture? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen here, if you stop right there, you stop short of getting the explanation. Paul here to the Romans is quoting and citing Scripture. And then he goes on and gives the explanation when he says, "For with the heart," that is because, now these verses say this, "because with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now listen, a calling on the Lord is something you've got to do for yourself. Here's what we mean when we say, "I'm worshiping God." I must be done in the Spirit and in the truth. To call on God is a personal action. It's a heart work. It's from down inside. Yes, you must believe with your mind. You must accept that Jesus is who God says he is. You must believe that with your mind. You must accept that with your mind. But that acceptance of that fact is not salvation. No, you must do more than use your mind to find God. It's with the Spirit, in the Spirit, and in the truth where you find God. And so that when you call on the Lord, believing with your heart, there you're engaging. You're lifting your own prayer unto God from your heart. When you believe with that heart, calling on the name of the Lord. And let me tell you this, when you believe with all your heart, you will not, like the Scripture says, "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now you might try to whisper a prayer. You might try to utter some sincere thought to God and not get anything back from the Lord. I want you to know that when you come to God, you've got to get past your own pride. See yourself as that sinner that we all are. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I, my friend, had to see myself as a sinner and humble myself under the weight of that reality and seek the forgiveness of God, not for anything I've done, but for what Jesus did. And when I believed with all my heart on Jesus and called on the Lord, seeking his forgiveness, I believed right down there inside and called out on God from right down there inside for that mercy, that forgiveness. And he answered with peace down within. Let me tell you, nobody, people were close to me right around, and nobody knew but me that I had received that grace from the Lord. God, he seeks true worshipers. True worshipers must worship God in the Spirit and in the truth. That's what you need, radio friend. If you've got that, you know you've got it. If you don't have it, you can get it even today if you just trust the Lord. It's been our message. Thank you again for tuning in. This is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church, praying God would richly bless you.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.